You're listening to 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM. I'm Nathan Cones, and joining us here in the 8 o'clock hour, a very special guest. Really excited to have you on, doing a bit of a media tour here in the area the last couple of days. But it's Lieutenant Governor nominee Dave Muehlbauer. Is that getting used to that yet, Dave?
I am, but yeah, very exciting. Very exciting, and glad to be here, Nathan.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking some time. I know your schedule is pretty busy on that. So I guess for starters, I think you're a pretty well-known figure from the area, but doesn't mean everyone knows you. Just for starters, tell us a little bit about you before we even get into the candidate stuff. Who are you? What do you do? Dive into it.
You bet. You know, a fifth generation farmer. I've been farming in Western Iowa all my life, a family farm operation. And pretty typical farm operation for around here, corn and beans, hogs, cattle, alfalfa, rye, a little bit of everything. I have a horse herd. I was born and raised in Manila, Iowa, still live there on the farm today with my wife, Linda. We have three kids all in high school here at ICAM Manning. We'll have a senior, a junior, and a sophomore next year. Yeah, just my roots have been Western Iowa all my life. I went off to college at Wartburg for a year, and Dad called me up in the middle of the year and said, "Hey, what do you think about this college thing? You want to stick it out for 4 years, or I happen to have opportunity for you to come back to the farm?" And I jumped at that and don't regret that at all. I got a farm 20 years with my dad before he passed away. But yeah, just roots right here in Western Iowa, and that's where I've been all my life.
And this is so fun from just a local media perspective, and I'll tease you a bit here. I think we've had your wife, Linda, on air more than we've had you on. We don't do a lot of direct coverage of the Crawford County Supervisors, so we've done stuff with the library down there, but I haven't had you directly.
No, so that's definitely her passion. She's known in Manning as a library. Linda loves having kids programs. Actually, my son works at the daycare right below the library there, and gets to bring all the kids up for different library programs. And my middle daughter, you know, she works at the marketplace in Manning and loves that job. Jamie's a great boss to work for, treats those kids great. And my youngest, yeah, she just gets to help out on the farm.
I find that area of at least my coverage area kind of interesting. So like you talk about, you're very involved in Manning, which is in technically in Carroll County, but you serve in Crawford County. So in a way, you kind of are split between the two in a lot of ways.
You know, Manila, of course, where I graduated from ICAM before they joined ICAM Manning. But Manning's also been a hometown to me, you know, that just... Well, that's where we grew up, right between the two of them. Actually, just south of Aspinwall. Going to Aspinwall for a cup of coffee like with your dad for years.
Weird connection. Yeah, so we were talking. My father used to work with the Muehlbauers when he worked at Aspinwall Co-op. And some of the guys that you also worked with, I've spent a lot of time down at the Manning and Manila Golf Course with. So yep. Just it's one of those small world things. And it's really neat to have that opportunity as local media people, because we're doing some research. You go back, it's been close to 50 years since we've had someone from like kind of the immediate neighborhood. My research goes back to Lieutenant Governor New under the Ray administration. So it's been 50 years since we've had somebody this close to the ticket. Like, how special is that for you?
Oh, it is incredibly special. And just, I am humbled and honored to be in this role and to have that voice for not just Iowa, but Western Iowa. You know, my family goes back three generations of public service with not only me in my eighth year as a county supervisor in Crawford, but Dad and Grandpa also served as county supervisors in Crawford and the state legislators. So yeah, I grew up getting to be a part of those conversations and what it means to serve the people in our area and how important that is. And like to me, you know, farming, you know, that's in our roots and what we've done and grown up. But with my family, so has public service. And it's very special to me to be that voice for Iowa and Western Iowa.
I see a common trend there as well. Some of it even before my time in the area as a news guy. But I look at Senator Schultz over from Crawford County, a farmer and politician. Craig Williams down from Manning works in the ag industry, not directly a farmer, but very closely tied. Prior to that, Mark Segebart comes to mind as well. So that's a common thing. So it's not necessarily, regardless of party, farmers are directly involved and they care a lot about what's going on in Des Moines.
Oh, absolutely. Even on my board, you know, I serve with Kyle Schultz, and my board has been like a family to me, but Kyle Schultz farms in Charter Oak, and, you know, Ty Rosberg, he trucks hogs and cattle and been in the agriculture industry for a long time. And yeah, I mean, it's just our roots.
Yeah, and you touched on a little bit, of course, your family history involved in politics. So I don't think there was a lot of surprises when your name came up, for sure. So I just want to talk a little bit. Were you caught out of the blue? Was there conversations ahead of time? Did you know you were in the running for this?
You know, we had conversation, but let me back up. You know, I first met Ram Sand. Actually, my wife, Linda, and I did. And we had an event in Templeton. Great event back in 2017, 18. And then throughout the years, you know, just with my role as a county supervisor and being on the Iowa State Association of Counties, I'm on that executive board. Great association for networking and having those talks with local government officials and what we're facing. But, you know, got to meet Rob and develop a relationship over the years. And then we did have some conversations of what it would look like. And, you know, to me, through those conversations, a lot like the Mobauer generations of public service, it's about putting people first, and realize that with Rob right away that he truly cares about putting people first and doing what's right. You know, he says a lot, not redder or bluer, but better and truer. You know, I don't care where the idea comes from. If it's right for the people, that's what we want to do.
And of course, I didn't make this disclaimer at the beginning. I always wanted to, this is more about the human side of politics. Just want to make that clear. We're not going to get like particularly partisan or anything. So in jest, you ever get tired of saying that? Like, and it's every whenever you got the catchphrase, it doesn't matter the party, you kind of get your go-to. Does that ever get old for you a little bit?
No, I mean, it's just exciting to get out there and meet people where they're at. And just like my experience 8 years as a supervisor, to me, what really drives me is hearing from people, listening to what their concerns are, putting them first. It even goes to my background. Our communities around here are so supportive of each other. You know, this last spring, we started calving in March, and we had that blizzard. Remember that blizzard
we had?
And cousin Jared and I that have a cow herd together with a couple other guys, we had 40 new baby calves in a 24-hour period. And I had a guy from Manning, a good friend of ours, Gene Steffes. He called me, I bet, 5 times throughout that day. Hey, I'm coming out. I'm going to help you. You guys need help. I'm right there to help you. And we said, no, Gene, it's a blizzard. Stay home. We got it. It's okay. And at 9 o'clock that night, and we went all day long, 24 hours, you know, just straight pulling calves and getting them into the barn. He shows up at 9 o'clock. I know you said to stay home, but I'm here to help. And he stayed with us till 6 in the morning as we brought calves into the barn, and he was drying them off and keeping them alive and doing all he could. I mean, that's the support we see in our small town communities. That's the support we see out here. And, you know, that's part of who I am, part of what I've taken forward as a supervisor and what I want to bring forward in this lieutenant governor role.
And I think it's a neat piece as well that anybody who spent any significant amount of time in rural parts of Iowa, that no one will be surprised by that story. But again, with a 50-year gap in between, I think that mentality might have been lacking at the highest levels of government in Iowa for quite some time. Another thing about politics, even at the local level, pretty unforgiving field. So in the past, in your father's last term, made some commentary about some firearms. We're not going to dive specifically into that, not dredging stuff up from the past 10 years. But I've already seen people attribute your father's positions to you like you're the same person. Has that gotten frustrating for you yet?
You know, you're going to hear all kinds of things, but he truly had a heart for people. He's his own man. That's what he did, you know, trying to make best decisions to serve people. But, you know, Rob and I aren't going to focus on cultural war issues. We're out and about all across the state and listening to people and hearing what their concerns are. And of course, you know, their concerns are economy. We're 48th in the nation for personal income growth. You know, you look at our farm economy struggling. We've had 4 straight years for many farmers of losses. We're looking at a 6-year high, just as April's stated that farm bankruptcies are at 6-year high. We're looking at trying to tackle our high cancer rates, even our water quality issue. You know, these are concerns that everyday people in Iowa have, you know, everyday kitchen table issues. And that's what we're going to focus on.
I go back and I think to things like, it'd be, for example, in, we'll call it the gotchiness of modern political campaigns, which I just don't think you see. And it's not a one side or the other thing. You just don't really see that at in any of your supervisor's race, if there's any ads at all in that campaign, right? It's not one-liners or anything like that. So how is it making that transition from, you know, a local level politician to really that state, federal, statewide campaign trail?
You know, the thing about local elected officials, we're truly the boots on the ground. I mean, we have a network of working across counties with other supervisors. I mean, I serve on Region 12 Council of Governments here in Carroll with a number of supervisors from, you know, well, Carroll, Green, Sac.
Contiguous counties,
You know, our 6 counties there. But to me, we are truly the boots on the ground. We are the ones that at a grocery store, pulled aside at church. I mean, when I go to Asphalt Co-op and have a cup of coffee, you know, they bend your ear and, hey, what do you think about this or this issue? And so being just in tune with the people from that role is very, very important. I mean, we all need to have our voices heard. And I think that's something common, you know, whether it's a local elected official or the people that we're very in tune with, you know, are frustrated that we feel like our voices aren't being heard. And feel like the state legislature, current state legislature, you know, it's special interests and powerful insiders that are dictating things that versus hearing the people directly. And being at that experience as a local government person, I know that local input is so very, very important across the state. And that's important for me to bring to this ticket.
And I think one of the things, and my opinion, I guess my analysis here, is one of the things that made you pretty attractive to the SAND campaign is to be a Democrat and a nationally one of the most conservative congressional districts in the country. I believe the Trump victory margin was 40 some points in the last election. I don't believe you're on the ticket that year, but all I'm getting at is that there's a strong conservative Republican voter base over here, and yet you have served 8 years as a Democrat. How do you make that happen?
You know, it's true. Like I said, three generations of Western Iowa Democrats here. To us, we just, my family, and what they've instilled in me is staying focused on people, putting people first, going out there and listening to what they have to say, and finding just common sense, grounded solutions. And that's who we've been. We stayed true to that. And that's part of what I'm going to bring to the ticket as well.
And so you see a lot in those larger elections, again, state or federal, you almost get, for lack of better words, a caricature of the candidate rather than who they are. And I don't think that's necessarily an issue at the local level, because if someone says somebody about Dave at the co-op, that's not the Dave that was that I know or have known for my entire life. But as you go to those larger campaigns, how do you make that adjustment?
You know, it's staying true to who you are. I mean, just being me and being personable and listening to people and having those conversations. And most of the time, 99% of the time, you walk away from those conversations and people, oh, I know him better now. I see who he is. And it's just being real. You know, and growing up and part of just our family tradition, you know, I remember as a little kid, we were campaigning for Grandpa Louie in Auburn. And me and my cousin Jared and Luke, they sent us down the street to hand out flyers and knock doors. And Grandpa Louie and Grandma and our parents were close to us and knocking other doors. And we had a family invite us in for Saturday morning cartoons. And we said, well, that sounds a heck of a lot better than knocking doors. So the three of us went in and watched cartoons. And when they got done, they came and got us. So, you know, fun story, but just, I mean, that's part of growing up in a family like this. Has put public service first.
And I jest, but is that what you'll be doing if you win? Cartoons, yes. No, I assume not. But I mean, what foreshadowing though, right? Like even campaigning as a child, like that you would be as an adult campaigning as well. Just an interesting family tradition there. We got to wrap up here. We're getting shortish on time and you've got places to be and things to do. Just want to briefly touch, you know, if your ticket's successful, it's going to be a pretty tight race. So it really is a coin flip, at least based on, you know, latest polling. Assuming you take on the role of Lieutenant Governor, what do you see your piece in that puzzle being?
You know, definitely having that voice for people on the ground in Iowa, everyday people. But, you know, we're working through some of those and what it'll look like. I mean, Rob knows that farming has been my life background. I mean, that's my livelihood. County government, local elected officials is very important to me. So those things, of course, are who I am, and that'll translate to that role. But we're working through that, too, as well, and what that'll, you know, defining what that position will be.
All right, Dave, I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule. I'm sure we'll see you around. Last follow-up, just really, really quick. I've always wondered this. It's such a mild question. How do you balance running an operation and also campaigning? Because I have no idea how you manage that.
Well, I'll tell you. I have a great support system, great family. You know, I farm with my sister and brother-in-law. We took over after Dad passed. My cousin Jared, who's like a brother to me, that we run cows together. Is right there with me. You know, we got a couple other guys, Caleb and Eli and Chris, and they're all family. They're like brothers as well. He said, Dave, fill in when you can. When you're home, we'll jump back into the farm, you know, put back on the pliers and belt and get back to work. But they said, don't worry about things. We have it covered. In fact, the other night I was traveling and I was kind of texting them, how's this going? What's going on here? And they said, Dave, stop. We got it. This is important. You go do what you need to do and we'll have the farm covered while you're gone. And, you know, when you're back, jumping in right back in and where we're at. So balancing act, but it's working very well. And it wouldn't work if I didn't have that family support.
I think that's a great point to wrap up. Again, Dave, appreciate you taking some time out with us.
Cool. Thank you for having me here.